Hello and welcome back to the Sports Sermon. We have an MLB preview podcast coming at you today. I am joined today by a couple of distinguished guests. We have Editor-in-Chief Graham Pirro.
Hello, everyone.
We have Features Editor Alex Boyd.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, so like I said, we are hitting you with the MLB preview. The season is kicking off this Sunday, April 2nd. It's going to be a competitive season, I think. I think it'll be a good one. Last year obviously ended with somewhat of a surprise, but not really, I guess you could say. We're going to go kind of division by division to start out. So I want to start with the AL East, and we'll talk about that first. I think a lot of people have been saying that it's the most competitive division. You have the Red Sox, who are pretty stacked. You also have the Orioles and the Blue Jays, both of whom lost a couple of guys this offseason, but still are very talented. Then you have the Yankees, kind of a wild card in there. They're a young team, but kind of wondering how they'll end up this season. But the Red Sox, I think, are easily the favorite for the AL East. What do you guys think of this division?
Yeah, it's hard to make an argument that the Red Sox don't win, just because I think that the Red Sox have the best rotation in the league. Behind Porcello, they acquired Chris Sale this offseason, David Price, and it just those three starters, I think they can match up with just about anyone. With that being said, the Orioles, Blue Jays, and Yankees, I could see any one of these teams making a run at the wild card and making things interesting. The big question mark for the Orioles right now is their rotation, their pitchers. I believe they led the league last year in home runs given up. They have a very solid lineup, but their rotation is not good. The Blue Jays, their window is shutting rapidly. They have an aging team, but they're still going to be in contention. And both the Yankees and the Rays, never thought I would describe the Yankees this way, but they're both up and coming. They got a lot of young talent. I think they need a lot of things to go right. But I can see any one of these five teams making a run for the wild card, or any one of the four teams behind the Red Sox making a run for the wild card.
Yeah, I'm not buying the most competitive division in the league. I wouldn't even say most competitive division in the AL. You know, the Red Sox are going to run away with it, and then you have four decent, just over 500 teams. Maybe they get one wild card. No way they get two again. The rest of the AL got better, whereas Orioles and Blue Jays stay the same or got worse. The Yankees are definitely by far the most improved team in the division, and they might make it interesting and vying for that one wild card spot, but I don't see a chance that they get two again. They got one great team in the division and four fine teams, and that's not competitive to me.
I'm going to disagree very strongly with you there. I don't think there's another division in the entire MLB that has four other teams that are as strong as the Orioles, Blue Jays, and Rays and Yankees.
The AL West.
The AL West has the Athletics.
Right, but the
Angels.
Both of them are not going to be very good. Angels are going to be a sleeper.
I don't know about that.
Besides Mike Trout, they could make it. They could surprise people.
And the thing is, I think you go Texas to the Angels. Any four of those teams can contend for that division title.
All right, well we'll get to the right, we'll get right. to that one. I stand by my claim.
We'll see. Me too. I do want to talk about the Yankees for a second because we have two Yankees fans here.
Yes.
So I thought we'd give it a little more time than we normally would. The Yankees, I think, are going to be very, very fun to watch this year.
Yeah, for the first time since probably 2012,
yeah,
they're going to be fun to watch.
It is no longer the days of like old, very washed up players. I think you could see maybe like four to five top prospects see time for the Yankees this year.
Yeah,
and I think it's going to be really fun to watch.
Aaron Judge in right field is one of my new favorite players on the Yankees.
Yeah.
The man is 6'7", 275 pounds. Yeah. And what's great is when he stands at the right field wall to rob a home run, he doesn't have to jump.
Yeah.
He just reaches up and catches it. He can hit the ball 500 feet. He's got an incredible amount of power. He just has to make contact because he struck out in 50% of his at-bats last season.
Yeah.
But the one question mark, I think, for the Yankees is the pitching.
Right.
Because behind Tanaka, you have a lot of question marks. You have an old CC Sabathia. You have Michael Pineda, who is all over the place.
Yeah.
He's got the stuff to be a Cy Young competitor, but he's just way too inconsistent. Can't get out of innings. Too many two-out runs. And then after that, you have a bunch of question marks.
You have Severino, who was a top prospect. Last year, he kind of struggled.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. I think the AL East will be fun to watch because there's not a lot of separation after the Red Sox. Those will be some fun games.
That's all well and good. Too bad a lot of people can't see them because you can't buy a Yankees ticket over StubHub anymore. So,
which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that
I'm sure you'll all be watching attentively at home.
Listening to Mike O'K scream at the top of his lungs anytime someone gets it. Yeah, that's another issue.
Those are the best. All right, let's transition to the AL Central. I think it's safe to say that Cleveland kind of has this division locked up. You know, they signed Edwin Encarnacion over the offseason, and they still have Andrew Miller, who I think is an incredible, incredible closer, easily the best in the game right now. Then you have the White Sox, who I think are probably the solid two. They picked up a couple of good prospects in the Sale trade that we mentioned earlier. What do you guys think of the AL Central this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard to see the Indians not winning this. They just got better. You have Andrew Miller for a whole year. The way Terry Francona uses him is absolutely brilliant and fun to watch. Then picking up Edwin Encarnacion, the Indians got a lot better, and I'll say this later, but they're my pick to win the World Series this year. I don't think we should write off the Tigers so quickly. I think that they won 86 games last year, and I think that they have a very good chance to exceed expectations. Looking at the Royals, Yordano Ventura, who was killed in a car accident in the Dominican Republic, that's just awful. That's a huge loss for their rotation, but it's also just a horrible tragedy. And then the White Sox, I certainly think, are in a rebuilding phase. I wouldn't be surprised to see them trade to Jose Quintana in the middle of the season. And then the Twins are arguably the worst team in baseball right now. So I don't think the AL Central is quite as interesting. You feel horrible for the Kansas City Royals and their fans for what happened. I don't think we should write off the Tigers so quickly, though. I still think that the Indians are going to run away with it, though.
So I'm also big on the Tigers this year. You know, I think it's going to be a closer division race than a lot of people are predicting, and this goes back to my experience with my beloved Metropolitans. You know, you see a bunch of pitchers go deep into the postseason for the first time in their lives, and they're going to, you know, there's always the injury question going into next year. That's what happened with my graceful yet delicate pitching staff who are still yet to recover, and I think that's something that you're going to see with Cleveland this year. Kluber's already got questions, and I mean, Francona knows what he's doing with managing this staff, but there's something to be said for five young guys going really late into October and then into November for the first time in their lives. There's going to be a hangover, and Detroit's on the up and up. You know, let's see what they get out of Upton this year if they get their money's worth. But especially with Fulmer, I think the sky's the limit. And, you know, Verlander's about as steady as they go. So I think it could be a division race. We'll see. As far as the White Sox go, obviously in full rebuilding mode, I think people are pretty big on them in the next few years. I'm not so sure. I think there are a lot of variables, and it's all going to come down to who they flip and when. I think Frazier's as good as gone because it's a contract year. But as far as Robertson and Quintana go, they're signed through 2018. So what are they going to do? You know, it's going to be they're going to have to play the game with you know, when is their value going to be highest? When can they get the right package for them? So I wouldn't trade them unless you're getting a real home run package back, which I think is going to be a really fine line for them. So we'll see what they get back.
Yeah, I think the White Sox played it right not trading both of them this offseason, because they got a decent package for sale from the Red Sox. They got one of their top prospects whose name is escaping me right now, but
Yoan Moncada.
Yeah.
But I think holding on to Quintana and then wait until the deadline, let his value increase, and then trade it to
and
a
you
playoff
know what,
contender.
And you know at the deadline, people are
going to be giving
an
up.
An arm
yeah.
and a leg. The question is if he'll have as good a year as last year.
Yeah, exactly. And to your point about the Indians having a hangover from last season, what I see in the Indians is similar to the Royals in 2014 when they lost the World Series to the Giants and then came back and won it in 2015. I think that the Indians are going to do the same thing. But I wouldn't be surprised to see in a couple of years the same thing that's happened to the Royals, where they fell off after winning the World Series. I wouldn't be surprised to see the same thing happen to the Indians.
Yeah, their lineup's deep. They're going to hit a lot of runs. They're going to score a lot of runs, but we'll see about the pitching.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about the AL West now. Boyd, I think you mentioned you thought this was a very, very deep
Very big AL West fan this
big
year.
Big AL West guy.
Huge AL. Part of it could be that the NL East is playing the AL West this year. Maybe. I'm a little more interested than usual. But I genuinely think it's a four-team race. The Angels are probably the underdog there to contend. But even so, you've got a definite three teams that, you know, I think any prediction would be understandable. The Rangers have a great 1-2 punch. If they can get any kind of pitching at the trade deadline, they're going to be really scary. The Astros lineup is ridiculous. And, you know, the Mariners are better than people think. They've got a decent staff, and they got a couple guys between Cano and Cruz and Seager who can really hit the ball. So we'll see about them. I think any team can, and any of those four can contend for the division, and I think they have a definite eye on at least one wild card from over there.
So I'm a lot higher on the Astros than I think a lot of people are, and I'm a lot lower on the Rangers than a lot of people are, because the Rangers got incredibly lucky last season. They won an absurd amount of one-run games, and their run differential, even though I forget what their exact record was, but their run differential was only +9 on the season. They have to regress. Like, that has to change this season. I don't think the Rangers are going to be as good as they were last year. And I think the Astros have a lot of question marks in their rotation, but like you said, they have a really exciting combination of old guys with Brian McCann and Carlos Beltran.
Oh, I forgot the Yankees traded McCann.
Yeah, the Yankees did trade McCann because they needed a catcher from last year. But then you have like guys like Jose Altuve, who are some of the youngest, most exciting guys. I'm really high on the Astros. I think they have one of the best, most underrated lineups in the league. The question mark there is their rotation. And then, like you said, the Mariners, Felix Hernandez is always going to be the king. He had a down year last year. He's going to come back. And then there are 3, 4, or 5 hitters. It's tough to get much better than that murderer's row.
I'll tell you one thing, Graham. I read that one-run game article, too, and
I
throw your advanced stats out the window. One-run games show who the real contenders are. It's in the heat of the moment when the game is on the line that the best teams don't make mistakes. One-run wins are wins. I don't care how you cut it. And the Rangers won the most games in the AL last year. Don't forget about that. That is not luck. That is skill.
True. And to be fair, they did win without Yu Darvish making a ton of starts. But I maintain my opinion that the Rangers will not be as lucky this year.
We'll see.
I'm glad we read the same sports blogs also. And then I also don't think the Angels outside of Mike Trout, I don't think are going to...
Watch their staff. Watch their pitching staff.
Okay. Any love for the A's?
No.
A's get no love.
Got to be another rough year in Oakland. Yeah. Especially now that all they have to watch is going to be the A's.
Yeah.
Oh, God. True.
Yeah, I would not want to be an Oakland fan right now.
That sucks.
That's rough.
Let's head over to the National League now. Let's talk about the NL East.
All Boyd's, right. Everybody
buckle up. Right up Boyd's alley.
I've had a couple months of fuming to
me. So we have the... I think this division might be a little closer than people think. Because we have the Nats, and they won the division last year, but they lost their closer, Mark Melancon, over the offseason. He signed with the Giants, and they don't really have a closer now, which is, I think, one of the most important positions you need. You also have the Mets, the Phillies, maybe, I don't know, the Braves. They traded for Brandon Phillips, didn't they?
They did.
So they'll, I don't know. They probably won't be great, but we'll see. What do you guys think of the NL East?
Well, the Mets have beaten down my spirit 21 times in my lifetime right now, so call me a cynic, but I don't have high expectations. I just think there are too many question marks with the injury bug, and Harvey, I really can't expect much of him. I love the guy, but I don't know, the writing's on the wall that... I don't think his body can take it anymore. And Mats is hurt every other day. And who, you know, there's a question mark in basically every position. I don't think Wright ever is going to be a meaningful player anymore. And too many things would have to break right for them to contend. Honestly, I want to see the young guys. I want to see Conforto and Nimmo, maybe get Rosario up in September. I want to see those guys get as many plate appearances as possible because I don't think they're contending this year, especially with the Nats. As far as the Nats go, people point to their closer. And I got to point to the Cubs last year who also didn't have a genuine closer until the trade deadline. I think the way the league goes now is if you're anywhere close in August, it just takes one big trade and you can get the perfect rental, and that's all you need to go deep into the postseason. So I wouldn't count them out. I'd be shocked if Harper had as poor a year as he did last year. He's just too much of a talent. Far as the Phillies and Braves go, I still see them both really, really far away. I mean, it's going to be scary to look at their prospects and get nightmares about the future. It's going to be more painful to look at Dickey and Cologne in Braves uniforms, especially Cologne. And it just goes to show, with all the injuries to the Mets pitching staff, that it was inexcusable not to re-sign Cologne. It wouldn't have taken much. And, I mean, that guy would have came out of the pen, would have came out of the rotation. You can never have too much starting pitching. I think Miami takes the second spot this year.
Interesting. Okay. I think the Braves are going to be the most exciting bad team in baseball. Just because R.A. Dickey and Bartolo Colon together, just watching those two, whether or not they're good, it's just so entertaining. But yeah, like you said, the Nats, I'm pretty sure, are going to win this. Their team is just too good. And their window is also closing. Mm-hmm. They have to face the fact that Jason Worth is getting older, and also Bryce Harper is getting nearer and nearer to free agency. The question mark there is Steven Strasburg. Is he a long-term answer? But I think certainly this next season, and probably the season afterwards, the Nats are going to definitely be in contention. And the Mets, outside of the top three starters, I think I have a little bit more confidence in Harvey to bounce back than you do. And Syndergaard and DeGrom, doesn't get much better than those two. But outside of that, then the Mets have a lot of aging stars who hit for low average but power. Guys like Jay Bruce, Curtis Granderson, Lucas Duda. They hit for power, but they can't hit. They don't have high batting averages. And I just think that the team has too many of those to really overcome the question marks in the rotation with injuries.
Totally.
And then I think the Marlins are in a very similar situation to the Royals, where they lost Jose Fernandez. Outside of that, there's really D. Gordon maybe, but there's no one on that team outside of Giancarlo Stanton that really, really excites you when you look
Yelich.
At them.
Yelich.
I mean, I can see that, but it just I don't see the Marlins. I can see the Marlins finishing third or fourth, flipping with the Phillies. I think people are a little too. They might be underestimating the Phillies. But
Chris Dunn would love to.
Yeah,
hear that. Chris Dunn told me to talk up the Phillies in his absence.
Yeah, the Phillies are rebuild. I think the Phillies and the Yankees are in similar situations where they're rebuilding, but they're also competitive, which I think is a good place to be for both of the franchises. My prediction is Nats first. I'll say Mets second. Mets contend for the wild card. And then there's a drop-off, probably Phillies and Marlins, and then the Braves.
That's have broken my heart too many times to have any sort of optimism anymore, but especially with the Adam Eaton trade, I think Nats run away with it.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah, no, Adam Eaton, because their weakness, and like you were saying with the closer, I can see the Nats as one of those teams at the deadline just trading away a boatload of prospect for a closer to make a run at the World Series.
Maybe Robertson. I could
100% see that.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about the NL Central, where the reigning national champions are, World Series champions.
It's not even fair.
I think, again, this will probably be a two-team race, Cubs and Cards. That Dexter Fowler, how he signed with the Cardinals, I thought was very interesting. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's kind of rare to see a guy go directly from free agency, or go directly from a team to free agency to that team's biggest rival. I don't think that happens that often. I can't think of Johnny Damon, who did it from the Red Sox to the Yankees, and Roger Clemens. But Clemens had, like, a buffer in Toronto in between.
Yeah, and so. He was also traded from Toronto to
Yankees. Oh, okay. So free that makes
but
sense.
But similar concept. Yeah. Where, I can't wait to see the reaction from the Chicago fans.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like because, that guy helped bring you a championship, but also he just left. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Money.
I think this will be an exciting division, though, for
see,
sure.
See, I don't question Fowler's loyalty at all. I thought the writing was on the wall. They, even going into last year, it was clear that they weren't interested in Fowler as a permanent solution. They offered him 1 year after spring training had already started. He had basically already signed with the Orioles. This team had made it clear that Fowler was a rental and they wanted to go younger. And, you know, the Cardinals had a hole and they pursued him. They made him wanted. So as someone who values loyalty and really plays into the rivalries – and values those rivalries, I don't see any sort of betrayal here. I think Cubs made it very clear that Fowler was not going to be staying in Chicago, and, you know, he signed with the best deal.
Yeah, I think as far as loyalty goes, that's tough because a lot of the times it's a situation where the team that the guy's a part of. The one that I always looked to, even though he never switched teams, was Bernie Williams when he was on the Yankees. He got treated like dirt by management, and it took the Red Sox offering him a significant contract to make management finally increase their offer to him. I think that it's easy to see when a player switches teams. It's easy to say, hey, he wasn't loyal, or hey, he took the money. But a lot of times, the management doesn't treat him as well as he deserves. You know, obviously I'm a Yankees fan. The next thought that comes to mind is Andy Pettit after the 2003 season, when the Yankees didn't even offer him a contract till the last day of free agency. So I think I don't really hold anything against Fowler. I do think that that's an interesting, that definitely makes the Cardinals stronger, because not only do you get a really good player, you also make a division rival weaker. With that being said, I still think that the Cubs are going to win the division. I like the Pirates, though. I think people are sleeping on the Pirates. One guy, I think the most underrated pitcher in the league, Gerrit Cole, a guy who had a really, really weak season last year.
And he was a top prospect
back,
for a while.
And if he bounces back, the Pirates could do some damage. If Ivan Nova maintains his post-deadline stats from last year, they have a decent rotation after that. Not a lot of big-name guys, but then, of course, you always have Andrew McCutchen. And I think that the Pirates are probably the most underrated team in the league right now.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, the question mark is all on Gerrit Cole. Who knows after last year? But I'm rooting for him. I hope that he gets it back together. I don't know about their lineup, though. Kong is going to be unable to play for the first few months because he's dealing with some sort of visa issue after an arrest in the off season. And, you know, McCutchen's a huge question mark. But I have faith in him. Didn't look into how he performed in the WBC, but I'd be shocked if he was as bad as he was last year. Right field will save his legs a little bit, and we'll see how he adjusts. You know, sometimes guys whose bodies start to crumble under them, they have to find out how to play as a vet with their new bodies. And I think he'll do that. I don't think he'll be as poor as last year. I do think he probably gets traded at some point. But who knows? They got some really cool studs coming up. They got Glass now, who's going to be the real deal, I think. So that's an exciting team to watch.
Yeah, and I think outside of that, the Cardinals are definitely going to be it, because the Cardinals are usually pretty consistent. I think the addition of Fowler is a big move for them. And then for the Brewers and the Reds, you kind of just feel bad for the Reds. Actually, I feel bad for Joey Votto. He needs to get out of Cincinnati because he's getting old, and the Reds aren't going nowhere fast. And the Brewers are slowly but surely trying to rebuild, but neither of them are probably going to be particularly relevant.
I don't think they're close yet.
Yeah, Brewers maybe with Ryan Braun, he'll still get headlines, but outside of that, there's no one that really grabs your attention. And then with the Reds, outside of Joey Votto, I don't know if I can name another player on the Reds.
And that's the thing is, until you fully commit to the rebuild and you flip Votto and you flip Braun and you free up those salaries, it's just going to add years. So they got to fully commit as soon as possible.
Both of those teams need to tear it all down, and Votto and Braun both should be traded. I 100% agree with that. I think it's a three horse race in the Central. Cubs have the edge. But the Pirates, I could very well see them doing really well this season.
Yeah. Another runaway for me. Another runaway for the Cubs.
I think so, too.
And I'm actually going to predict again no wild card in the NL Central. I think...
I don't know. I think the Pirates are going to surprise people this year.
I hope so. I'm rooting for those fans. They've had it rough.
They have had it rough. So let's look at the NL West now. I think it's safe to say, again, it'll probably be a two-horse race, the Dodgers and the Giants. Like I mentioned earlier, the Giants picked up Mark Melancon, and the Dodgers still have one of the highest, if not the highest, salaries in the league. What do you guys think of this? I think it'll be a competitive race.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Rockies this year.
I think people are sleeping on the Diamondbacks.
Oh, I'm on the Rockies train.
I'm 100% behind. I am on the Nolan Arenado train, 100%. Mm-hmm. I think behind Mike Trout, one of the best position players in the MLB right now, guy who could really compete for the MVP. I think that the Rockies are going to surprise people. The Giants are always in it, and the Dodgers, like you're saying, I believe Fangraphs have them projected as the best team in the MLB. I don't think they'll be necessarily the best, but they're going to be out there with that much money. The fact that Clayton Kershaw is still going to be Clayton Kershaw. They kept Rich Hill. And then their lineup, just their their team is too good to write off. But with that being said, I think people are sleeping on the Rockies. The Giants will be there. And then I'm interested to hear why the Diamondbacks are your sleeper pick, Nick.
I just think that, I mean, you look at this roster, they have a lot of talented guys. I mean, you have Zach Greinke, you have Shelby Miller, two pretty good top-of-the-rotation guys.
Well, I think Shelby Miller spent more time in AAA than the big leagues last Greinke, year.
Greinke's been in decline for a couple, but the point stands.
I don't know. You also have Goldschmidt, who I think is one of the best first basemen in the league.
Big time.
I don't know. I'm not saying I think they can compete, but I'm saying that, like, pretty much every single prediction I've seen has them second to last. So I don't know. I think behind the Padres or in front of the Padres. So I don't know. I think they could maybe jump up into that third spot, maybe keep it competitive.
Yeah.
I think the Dodgers still run away with it this year. The thing that concerns me is, again, they haven't made any sort of moves to get better. They've maintained basically the same roster. And so I think it's enough to win the division again, but as soon as they reach the Cubs and the Nationals, I think they're a different tier. They're just a completely different tier. Giants, big outfield concerns. Big outfield concerns. I don't know if you have one guy who could hit 250 right now. I mean, Hunter Pence, who knows? He's a hustler. I like the guy. But I don't know if they have one 250 bat.
Denard Spam.
What did he hit last year?
I don't know, but on the Twins, he was generally...
He let off for them for a while. Yeah.
I don't know.
I like Span, but I see your
outfield.
Point.
Very worried about that outfield. I still think they'll contend for a wild card. It's just not the Giants' way to let the season slip away from them. Big, big Rockies believer this year. Crack open
all
a course.
All aboard the Rockies.
Flip on the Rockies game, let me tell you. If they get any sort of semblance of pitching... They're going to be a really, really exciting team to watch.
Those first five hitters in that lineup.
That lineup through and through.
Point out a better combination of five hitters.
No, I think they can contend with anyone for the best lineup in the league, especially if Murphy, their potential starting catcher, can really break out like some people think that he can. Now, one concern I have is a lot of people are picking John Gray as a sleeper for the Cy Young or some big... NL pitching stat leaders, and I don't buy it at all. He had a nice strikeouts per nine stat last year, but and a lot of people point to that. He's a big strikeout guy. The leader in strikeouts per nine last year was the Diamondbacks' Robbie Ray, who had a 4.9 ERA. John Gray's a guy who hasn't pitched an ERA under 4.6 in his life. I don't care how many guys he strikes out. If he can't control it, especially in Coors Field, he's going to give up a lot of home runs. I don't buy it. Sure, maybe he improves. He is young, but no chance you're comparing him to the best of the best in the league. Not by a long shot. Not yet.
Interesting move also for the Rockies, getting Ian Desmond to play first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think Desmond is kind of underrated. I just looked it up. He's worth 2.7 WAR, which is, it's not elite, but it's decent. And I think I'm also on the Rockies train. Yeah. I think that... The reason why I like the NOL so much is because you have a great dynamic between the Giants and the Rockies, where the Rockies have an incredible lineup, but then the Giants have Bumgarner, Johnny Cueto, Matt Cain.
Smarja, sure.
And Matt Moore, and then Jeff, I can't pronounce it.
Smarja.
Which is, I mean, even if you think Cain and Moore are in decline, Bumgarner and Cueto, that's one of the best 1-2 punches in a rotation.
And Samardzija. I mean, he was a stud for a while.
Yeah, so the Giants have a great rotation, but there are a lot of question marks in their lineup. The Rockies are the opposite, great lineup, a lot of question marks in the rotation. The question is, can either of them overcome their question marks to beat the Dodgers? And I don't think so.
And here's hoping that Diamondbacks make back some of their money this year with their big pitching investments. A little embarrassing last year. Nobody likes to see that.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, maybe. I don't know.
Well, what about the Padres? What I like about the Padres is they are committed to the rebuild, and I think that's a good move on their part.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Hey, nobody doesn't like Will Myers. Nobody doesn't like Will Myers.
Oh, yeah, I forgot they got him.
Yeah, so...
They got him from the Rays in a trade a few years back, right?
Is that right?
I think so.
Could be.
I give the Padres 3 to 4 years. Maybe they'll make it to 500. Maybe they won't, but...
I'll give them four, they could take seven. That's about what it's going to take.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who I would say is the worst team in the MLB. Twins, maybe. Padres, They're also making
A's are pretty bad.
The A's are pretty bad. But I think of all those, the Padres and the Twins probably have the brightest futures, but they're still going to be it's going to be a rough couple of years.
Twins got that, you know, trade chip in Dozier. Who are the Padres and who are the who does Oakland have to make their future brighter? I don't know. I don't know about their farm system. Maybe they got a couple prospects coming up, but I just it's a pretty dismal scene.
I was going to ask you guys that. Best regular season record and worst regular season record.
Best, I'm going to go with the Nationals. I think that's a team that is built to win during the regular season. And the past, correct me if I'm wrong, the past three NLDSs, they've been knocked out, I believe. They're the type of team that is just built to dominate during the regular season. But once push comes to shove in the playoffs, do they have guys with enough experience? Does their manager have enough experience? I'm going to go Nationals with the best.
It pains me to say it, but I have to agree. I think they're the most competitive team in the least competitive division, and I think they're really going to take advantage of the division play. You know, even the Cubs are going to have to play the Cardinals and the Pirates, and you know, in the AL West, every division game is going to be competitive, but when you play the Phillies and the Braves that many times a year, I think you can really balloon that record.
So, fun fact that I just read today while doing research for this podcast. Apparently, there was a point last season, I think it was April 19th maybe, that the Boston Red Sox had more wins in the Braves' home stadium than the Braves did. That's like 2.5 weeks into the season.
That's hilarious.
And an away team has more wins than you do in your own home park. That is an idea of just the situation for the Braves right now. As far as worst record goes, I think the Padres or the Twins. I'm gonna go Padres here.
I think Padres get beaten up pretty bad again. Yeah. I think they have too many good teams in their division.
That's the problem. Yeah.
And as far as the Braves stadium goes, they got a brand new one this year, clean slate. Go and get your cologne bottleheads and send them to me, please, because I am in mourning.
I would love to see the Braves make a run for 500. If they could just get to 500, that would
make one of us. But yeah.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah. So now let's get into our favorite segment here, the bold predictions. I have some odds for the for this season World Series winner. We have the Cubs at 11-2, Indians 8-1, Red Sox 9-1, Dodgers 9-1, Nationals 14-1, Astros 18-1, Mets 18-1. Up there with the Astros. That's very interesting. Giants 24-1 and Blue Jays 24-1. Which of these would you guys take and why?
I would take the Indians.
Yeah.
I think the Cubs are actually overrated here. But the Indians, again, I think they're going to do what the Royals did. It was their time. They lost that World Series by one run. They're just up and down. Their lineup is too strong. Their pitching is incredible. Their bullpen is extremely good. And they have one of the best managers in the game right now. So of those, I would take Indians at 8-1 to win the World Series.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the Cubs are overrated at all. I think they're they just have so few flaws. But it's so hard to go back to back. I'm looking up the last time anyone went back to back.
Wait, when was it? Remind me, what team was it that was the last one to win back to back?
You know what? Yeah, the webpage isn't loading.
it was the Yankees who won three in a row between 98 and 2000. The height of the dynasty.
It would be the second time this millennium. So I think it's a really tough ask, and you never know. So I think I'd probably pass on them. Indians. Like I said, I had my worries about their hangover. I'd probably go Red Sox this year.
Sox?
I'd probably go Red Sox. I think their lineup is too good, and especially if Price is healthy, that rotation's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah. Even without Price, that rotation is incredible.
No, I think
because if Stephen Wright can find the knuckleball behind Porcello and Sale, I mean that's
hey, get him in that warm July weather. He's gonna throw some really gnarly knuckleballs.
I want one of my bold predictions to be that the Red Sox flame out and don't make it to the playoffs, but I honestly can't. That team is so deep, I can't.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen. As much as I would love it to happen,
as much as I would enjoy
even
that,
even without their RBI and home run leader from last year, if you could believe that.
Yeah. Mine, for the World Series, I think I would take the Astros, which is kind of bold. You know, we like the bold predictions.
But I think, like you guys said, I mean, this is a deep team. It's a good team. And I think that playing in the tough division will reward them. Like, they, I think they'll be ready. I think whatever team ends or gets in out of that division is going to be tested, and they're going to surprise people.
You know, they live or die by Keuchel, especially in the postseason. Yeah. So we'll see if 2015 was a fluke. Yeah. I'm not convinced. And you know, if they pick up a pitcher at the trade deadline, yeah, I think they could play with anyone. Yeah.
So now let's quickly get into player awards. MVP and Cy Young. Let's hear it.
MVP? I'm going to go... Oh, it's tough to go with anyone besides Mike Trout. Boy, do you have one off the top of your head? I'm trying to...
AL is tough. Yeah. AL is really tough to go against Trout.
I might have to go with the guy I mentioned earlier on the Rockies, Nolan Arenado.
I tend to agree with that.
For the NL, at least. I can definitely see that. My bold prediction for a team to make a surprise run to the World Series is the Rockies again. Mm-hmm. Get on board the Rockies train. You heard it here first. But for the AL, I have to go Mike Trout. I just don't see anyone else I can see an argument being made for another player who may like produce similarly, but the way that Mike Trout makes the Angels relevant single-handedly, because without him, no one would talk about the Angels. But yeah, the fact that they have Mike Trout.
It depends how you define MVP, and you might have guys like Machado who hit for more RBIs just because of the team he's on, but I think Trout's just on another level. I think I also got to go with Arenado. I mean, he just answers every question, silences all the doubters year after year, got an underrated glove. If the Rockies are anywhere near relevant, I think you got to look to him. I'm not going World Series. I think playoffs would be a pretty big surprise. But just because I don't think they have any kind of semblance of pitching, but we'll see. I'm rooting for them. Cy Young, if you pick anyone other than Clayton Kershaw, I have no idea what's gone wrong in your head. I'm still not convinced he's a human being. I'd like to see a birth certificate because he's the best baseball player on the planet by miles and miles. AL is tough. AL is tough as far as Cy Young goes.
Yeah, I agree with you with Kershaw. So AL, I'm going to go with an oldie, Felix Hernandez.
I'd be happy to see that.
I think he deserves it. I think the Mariners in general deserve to be able to make a run. They haven't really been relevant in the postseason. Well,
they've got the longest postseason drought now, I believe.
Yeah. So I like Felix Hernandez for the American League Cy Young. I think the Mariners in general are going to be, a lot of people are ready.
He is certainly well rested. Very well rested.
For sure.
Yep.
For sure. All right. That will conclude our program for today. Thank you guys for joining me.
Yeah,
quick plug for our social media. You can follow The Voice at G-Town Voice on Twitter. You can follow Halftime, the sports and leisure blog at Halftime GU. You can follow Voice Sports at GU Voice Sports. If you were interested in any of the personal takes, you can follow us on Twitter personally. I am at Nick Gavio.
I'm at GLPiro22.
And throw AlexBoyd81 a follow if you want some prime dog memes.
Oh, me too. No. Great content there. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.